traffic jams living here in Central Oregon. That's amazing. I think I'll bring a chair up next time. We've got a two-way steps up there or something. Well, how many of you remember, or saw, I should say, first of all, this year's summer camp video? How many of you saw it? Very good, okay. Do you remember the title and main point of the video this year? Well, in case you didn't, the title was Camp 24/7, God's Immersion Education Program. Camp 24/7, God's Immersion Education Program. The title and theme of this video gave me the title and theme of the opening night message, because as soon as I saw that, I thought, well, you know, that's what the Feast of Tabernacles is about as well. The concept of immersion education, as explained in the camp video, was illustrated by the fact that to learn to swim, you have to do what? Get in the water. It's pretty obvious. I mean, somebody could tell you how to swim, but you don't know whether you can swim or not unless you get in the water. It's kind of like the mother duck philosophy. You know, they throw little ducklings in the water and they sink or swim. It's pretty basic. It also brought out to learn a new language. The fastest way is to live in the country where the language is spoken and immerse yourself in the new language and its culture. I almost had the opportunity to do that when I went to Ambassador College, but it would have been an exciting opportunity. Actually, my son ended up being able to do that, so that was good. He was able to learn the language by actually living in the country where the language was spoken. It mentioned the second fastest way is to go to an immersion school, where almost all of the courses are taught in the new language. I have a friend who is the director of religious studies at St. Xavier University in Chicago. His name is Troy Martin, who is an expert in Greek, which, by the way, I am not. Okay, I just know enough to get by. But he's sort of my lifeline. If you're familiar with the Millionaire Program, I can actually call him up anytime at home or wherever if I have a question, and he'll set me straight. Well, the way he got to be an expert is by attending a instruction course that used this immersion concept, where everything was done 24/7. With New Testament Greek. When campers attend United Youth Camps 24 hours a day for 7 days, they're immersed in the new language and culture of God's way of life that we call the zone. This sounds familiar. This is actually a quote from the video from Mr. Stiver. Probably most of you are familiar with the zone. Is that right? I know your campers are. If you're not familiar with it, ask one of the young people here. They can probably tell you what it is. The zone basically is an area where our young people can feel safe and can enjoy the blessings of God's way of life. Does that sound something like the feast? It really does, doesn't it? That we have a zone here that we want to maintain as well. In the video, Mr. Kylo pointed out that our program for campers is to take them out of the world that they're immersed in for 51 weeks and give them a chance to see what life really can be, is supposed to be, and is going to be like in the kingdom of God. Again, doesn't that sound like the Feast of Tabernacles? Well, it really does, doesn't it? The camp video also observed immersion education has existed in the church for a very long time. It's just that we didn't think to call it that. What do you suppose they were talking about? Feast of Tabernacles. They were saying, you know, we've done this for how many decades? All those of you that stood up. It's called immersion education. We've been practicing it. We just didn't know what to call it. Now, that's no big deal to put a label on it, but when you put a label on it like that, it sort of helps you understand why it works so very well. Because I personally believe, arguably, I guess you'd have to say as a disclaimer, but I believe that dating back however long you want to date in the church, that the two best things that we've done as a church have been the Feast of Tabernacles and summer camps. And I wonder if that's because of using this concept of 24/7 immersion, of coming out of the world and being immersed in a culture that promotes God's way of life for 7 days. That's what we strive to do at summer camp. That's what we are here for at the Feast of Tabernacles. We're here, actually, we get a bonus. We get an extra day, an eighth day, the last great day, to participate in God's immersion education program at the Feast of Tabernacles. And as I reflected on that video, it amazed me how many similarities there are between summer camp and the feast. And this is because both have the same objective. As Mr. Kylo said, to teach what life really can be, is supposed to be, and what it's going to be like in the kingdom of God. One camper on the video commented, and some of these quotes here, maybe some of you might even be here. I don't know if you're here or not, but at any rate, what was said is the important thing. One camper commented, camp is like a mini kingdom, kingdom of God. Well, that same thing could be said about the Feast of Tabernacles, isn't it? It's like a mini kingdom. It's a foretaste of God's coming kingdom on earth. We have to live, all of us do, in this world 51 weeks a year. Actually, kids at summer camp only have to live 50 weeks a year. I should correct their video and say, wrong, 50 weeks. 1 week for camp, 1 week for the Feast of Tabernacles. So they get a bonus. Most of us have to live in this world 51 weeks a year. And we know that God doesn't ordinarily intend for us to be in isolation, just go off by ourselves somewhere. Jesus made that very clear in John 17, starting in verse 15. So what we're experiencing here is really kind of an exception the way it is most of the year. And that is that God does not intend for us to live our lives in isolation all throughout the year. I'm going to read this in a New English translation. Jesus said in this prayer to the Father, he said, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, speaking of his disciples, but that you keep them safe from the evil one. Verse 16, they don't belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Set them apart in the truth, or by your truth, could be translated either way. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world. So this obviously is telling us that God doesn't intend to take us geographically out of the world, to get away from all the sin of the world, because we're here to set an example or in our daily lives on earth. So we do have to live along with the rest of the world 51 weeks a year. But the Feast of Tabernacles, like summer camp, is an exception. God sets us apart from the rest of the world and teaches us his truth by means of his holy days. And this particular holy day season, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Last Great Day, is unique compared to the other holy days because of the fact of what it says in Leviticus 23, the instructions that are given to us about the Feast of Tabernacles. Leviticus 23 and verse 39, also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in a year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. And verse 42, notice, you shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, so that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now, obviously, we apply the spirit of the law here. We don't actually go out. Some people probably do, and that's fine. It's fine with me anyway, but not with some people probably that would think bad of it. But some people do this literally, actually go out and cut down trees and build shelters. God, I think, gives us the flexibility in the New Testament times to apply the spirit of the law, and that is we dwell in temporary dwelling places. When the Israelites went through the land of the wilderness on the way to the land of Canaan, they didn't have motels, right, to stay in. We do. Those are temporary dwelling places. And so we're able to learn the lesson by staying in these temporary dwelling places. And there's very great lessons. That's a whole subject in itself. But the main point for this evening is the fact that we actually are away from home, away from our jobs, away from school, away from our normal daily lives. Now, we can't leave all of our problems behind. Now, my dad used to say that a skunk can never leave its own stink behind, you know, so. But you can leave a lot of the problems behind. The job problems are hopefully left behind unless you have a cell phone to get this call or that type of thing. But God intends for us to basically be out and away from our normal everyday life and actually live in a separate place, in a temporary dwelling place for the entire 7 days and the eighth day of the last great day, of course, we do as well. So that's the one time of the year where God actually separates us out from the world, geographically speaking. And that's all part of the learning process of the holy days. And God's holy days are God's way, or one of God's way of teaching us about his plan. I won't turn there, but one of my favorite passages about the holy days is in Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17, that tell us, when properly understood, that the Sabbath and holy days comprise a shadow of things to come in God's great plan. We actually learn by doing. Once again, I mean, you could learn to swim by instruction, never get into the water. But it's a lot better to learn by immersion, to actually be in the water and learn in a hands-on way. So we can read about the Feast of Tabernacles in the Bible. We can read about the millennium in the Bible and what it's going to be like. But it's something else, again, to actually experience a foretaste of that in person by being in a separate place, in a temporary dwelling place, for 7 days, 8 days, counting the last great day, and enjoying the blessings of good meals and good fellowship, good messages, fun activities, and that type of thing, to actually act out what the world tomorrow is going to be like, at least to some degree. So the feast is to be celebrated by living in temporary dwellings, apart from the world geographically for this period of time, in the same way as campers leave their homes to live the summer camp facility for 7 days. Again, you can just ask any one of them how much they look forward to that. And my wife and I really enjoy being involved with summer camp every year. And I always feel like, you know, I feel like I learn more from them than they learn from me. I really do, because, well, I don't want to get off on a different subject here, but it's a wonderful program. And it's a wonderful program because it's an immersion program, as the Feast of Tabernacles is. One camper said, "I love being at camp. It's a big vacation from a sinful world." You know what? You could say that same thing about the feast, couldn't you? I love the Feast of Tabernacles. It's a big vacation from a sinful world. That's what God intends for it to be. The video listed three main aspects of camp that are also true of the feast. One of them is education. We have Christian living classes every day. We have a class Mr. and Mrs. Luker do called Excellence of Living that's an instructional class. We have question and answer sessions. We have service there on the Sabbath. So we have education. We also promote fellowship. The campers and actually live together in cabins with their counselor. There's interaction there with the staff members. And of course, there's the third thing is there are social and recreational activities. Well, once again, isn't that what we have at the feast? We have education with the sermons, sermonettes, Bible studies, seminars. Certainly have fellowship every year. That's something we thoroughly enjoy. You can just walk in this room and feel the joy that's here and the fellowship this evening and tomorrow and the rest of the feast. And obviously we have social and recreational activities galore. Lots of them this year. Some that we haven't had for a while even, and others that are so popular we have them every year. Well, the video also pointed out that at camp, the church teaches God's language and the true culture that goes with it. One of the points that was made is encouragement, no put-downs, no foul language are all part of the zone. You know, a lot of you at school, on the job, have to put up with foul language, filthy jokes, things like that. You don't have to worry about that when you're in the zone, in summer camp or here at the Feast of Tabernacles. That's a real blessing. Some of you appreciate that more than others because you have to put up with it probably more than others do. One camper said, "At camp, you have so many people behind you cheering for you. That's the way it will be in the kingdom of God." Well, once again, that's the atmosphere that we want to promote at the Feast of Tabernacles. Summer camp allows campers to escape from the fears of this world, one camper mentioned. And boy, are there a lot of fears out there. Fear is not part of God's plan. That's very, very clear, that God doesn't want us to have the fears that are out there in the world. The feast offers a spiritual oasis from the fears of the world because the spiritual environment created by God's people that all have the Holy Spirit. There's an environment here that you can't find elsewhere, with the exception, of course, of summer camp, which is a very similar principle. But we go back from the feast, or before we come to the feast, in some cases, some of you are the only member for miles around. Maybe you're the only one in your family, the only one on certainly on your job, probably, or maybe in your school, a young person. But here at the feast, we're surrounded by people who believe and live by the same truths that we've all learned and hold so very dear. The Bible, as I said, is very clear that fear has no place in God's plan. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 tells us that. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And what a difference between the two. You know, you can compare that with another passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. I'll read this in a New Revised Standard Version. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 says, "We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God." So if you put those two together, it says that God's spirit is not a spirit of fear. Well, it talks about a spirit of the world. So I think you can pretty logically deduce that the spirit of the world is a spirit of fear, not a spirit of love. And it says we've received God's Spirit so that we can understand the gifts that are bestowed on us by God. Not only can we understand them by reading it and understanding intellectually, but actually participating in the activities here at the feast, enjoying the activities, enjoying the good meals and whatever things you choose to do, you and your household, as the Bible says, allows us to experience the joys of the coming kingdom of God. Like I said earlier, it's one thing to read about it and understand it up here. It's another thing to actually learn it by immersion, by plunging into wholeheartedly the activities. I encourage all of you that possibly can to come to our activities in here, to our family dance, which is always so enjoyable. And the Boer Brothers concert I talked about, right up on this stage, 6:30, the night, same night as the dance, which starts at 7:30, right across the hall. Couldn't be easier. Our family fun show once again this year as well is always enjoyable. And it's so much more enjoyable when a lot of people are here. And both of those have been very well attended every year. And I trust that they will be this year as well. The camp video emphasized that effective learning requires more than lectures, which is kind of what I've been saying. Gary Petty, who does our radio program, made this comment. He said, "Life isn't learned in a classroom. It's lived in the real world." Speaking of the real world, that's going to be my last great day afternoon message. Would you think about that? What is the real world? You might be thinking about that between now and then. Might come as a surprise what the real world really means. It's an expression we use a lot. In fact, he used it here. He's referring to the real world as, you know, the actual day-by-day life that we live out there. At summer camp and the feast, comprehension results from integrating class instruction with enjoyable physical activities. That's a line from the video as well. At summer camp and the feast, comprehension results from integrating class instruction with enjoyable physical activities. As Mr. Stiver said, fun and learning God's way go together. I like to refer to the concept of lectures and lab sessions. Those of you that are in school, I guess you still have that, don't you? Lab sessions like chemistry, things like that. We did in my day anyway. So right now we're in a lecture. Tomorrow afternoon at 1:30, we're back for another lecture. But then the rest of the day is lab sessions. You know, I've heard people say, well, this is the spiritual part of the feast here, the sermons, messages, and all that, and the other is physical. I disagree with that. Those other activities are just as spiritual as what we're doing tonight. If you do it for the purpose and realize the purpose that God has for those activities, to teach us what his way of life is about, what the world tomorrow is going to be like. Because what we're doing is participating in God's immersion program. Not just up here, not just the knowledge, but actually living it out in our daily lives, enjoying things that are available here at the Feast of Tabernacles. The camp video explained that physical activity at camp teaches that God's way is fun. Couldn't you say that about the Feast of Tabernacles? Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, so many religions are permeated by this satanic idea that religion is just for people that are too old to enjoy life anymore. I don't know how old that is, but I don't imagine there's too many in here, if any, that are that old that you can't enjoy life anymore. Is that right? But the concept is that religion, as they like to call it, isn't any fun. That's what Satan would like to have people believe. You want to have fun? Come listen to me. I can tell you what's fun. We know God's the expert on what's fun, because what's fun today is going to be fun tomorrow and decades and long time in the future. I'm very thankful, you know, that God called me before I was 21 years of age, before I had a chance to wreck my life. You know, I can still enjoy life. I still go out and jog and do things like that, and I enjoy it. Well, that's another subject in a way. I don't want to digress. But the point is that God's way is fun. That's what God wants us to learn. Young people especially need to realize that. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes that says, remember your Creator while you're young. Should have put that in my notes. It's kind of funny when you read it in the Living Bible or New Living Bible, what a graphic description it is. But anyway, that's what the feast is supposed to teach us, that God's way is fun. I can prove that to you from Deuteronomy 14, if you'd like to turn there. Deuteronomy 14, and starting in verse 22, a very familiar passage of Scripture, has to do with the festival tithe. It says, you shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide there. The tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil, the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And of course, again, we apply the principle here of setting aside 10% of our income so that we can enjoy the feast. But look what it goes on to say. Why do we do this? So that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. What do you suppose that means? That mean to be afraid of God? Well, let's go on reading. But if the journey is too long for you, so you're not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name there is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires. Now, you probably don't desire some of the things that are listed after that, oxen and sheep. How many bought some oxen and sheep with your second tithe? Well, if you did, it probably came out on a plate, right? So, whatever your heart desires, for wine or similar drink, I won't ask the question on that one, or whatever your heart desires, you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. You know the way I understand that? That explains how we learn to fear God. Because he says, I want you to save this festival tithe so you can afford to find out what life really is going to be like in the world tomorrow. I made a comment earlier, I'm Scottish, you know. If it left up to me, man, I wouldn't have the money to really rejoice the feast, and I bet you none of you would either. I'd go to one of those Scottish restaurants, Mick. God says, I want you to really live it up and really enjoy it, because this is what my way of life is about. It's fun. We learn it by immersion. We read it in the Bible and it says, yeah, okay, fine. But when you actually live it out for 7 days, where you can go up into a store, you know, and say, you know, I'm going to get that. I can't afford it the rest of the year. I'm going to get that this year. you know, and splurge a little bit. Not overboard, of course, but doesn't mean to say if your heart desires a brand new house, you should go out and buy that. You know, I think we all understand. But the main point is God wants us to enjoy the feast by plunging into it and learning by immersion. Getting back to summer camp, you ask a lot of young people, and I'm still young in this way, I'll tell you what one of the most important things is at camp? It's camp food. Boy, you know, it's kind of hard to rejoice if the food isn't good. It was exceptionally good this year at summer camp, and I got good news for you young people. We're going to be back at Davidson next year, and they got a new chef, and he is good. In fact, Mr. Neusman and I wanted to stay and sample it, and our wives didn't think that was too good an idea, but so we didn't, you know. But anyway, that's a part of really enjoying life, is enjoying good food. You think God knows that? Well, I think he does by what you can read in some of the scriptures, like Psalm 34 and verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. Notice the verb he uses here. Oh, what? Taste. T-A-S-T-E. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. You'll think about that when you go out and enjoy a nice meal. This is God's invitation. Take a bite, taste and see that the Lord is good. That's what God wants us to learn by keeping a feast, to actually taste and say, boy, this is good. The saying goes, yeah, this is as good as it gets. God wants us to learn that, you know what? That's what my way of life is. It's as good as it gets. You can't improve on my way of life. And I want you to learn that by enjoying these things that please the physical five senses. The New Living Translation says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Do you sometimes just kind of look up and say, wow, this is great. You know, pump your fist in there and say, thank you, God. You know, I'm privileged to live in Central Oregon. I do that a lot. We have a nice place out in La Pine, 7 miles from the town of La Pine, which is a big population of about 5,000 people. We live a mile and a half from a state park. It's a dirty job. Somebody's got to do it, you know? So we have a millennial environment all the time. Not everybody, I realize, has that blessing and opportunity. If you come from a big city, boy, you can enjoy it here. Be able to breathe fresh air, crisp, cool nights for sleeping, warm, sunny days, you know, fun activities, good meals, lots of nice restaurants. This is God's invitation. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hebrews 6 and verse 4, which is usually in a negative context, I'm going to just pull one thing out of here that's very, very positive. This particular passage in the New Revised Standard Version says that we have been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come. You know, there is no scripture that says we enjoy a foretaste of the world tomorrow. But boy, this one is awful close. Because that's what it means. It means that we are enjoying a foretaste of the goodness of God's word and of the powers of the age to come. That's a foretaste of the world tomorrow. That's what we're here to enjoy. We should learn and experience this correlation between the physical and the spiritual. That's the key to really benefiting from the feasts. Is to realize we're here to enjoy life as a foretaste of what it will be like someday on earth, to keep us focused on that great hope and the master plan of God, as well as to learn this way of life so we can teach others in the world tomorrow. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. I'll tell you what, if you haven't tasted, you got 7 days to enjoy how good God's way of life tastes. And, you know, you got plenty of opportunity, believe me, even if you have limited funds. You know, the old saying, some of the best things in life are free. Our fun show is free. The family dance is free. Well, the concert by the Boer Brothers cost $10. Sorry. $7 for children. You'll get your money's worth. You'll enjoy it. So we want to taste and realize what a blessing it is to live God's way of life and look forward to the time when everybody will have that opportunity. There's so many other similarities between camp and the feast that I really don't have time to cover, but I'll just mention them briefly. Both summer camp and the feast encourage building relationships with God and with others as a major focus of their 24/7 immersion program. Because God's way of life is about people. It's one of the first things I said when I first message usually I give in a new church area is that church is about people, not just about policies and rules and regulations, procedures, all that stuff. Those are all necessary, but church is about people. God loves people. We all should love people. That's why I said what I did at the beginning, you know. I want you to enjoy the feast while you're here. Sure, we have procedures and rules and things. We tell you to honor the seating arrangements and all of that, but the most important thing of all is it's about people. And of course, that's why we have procedures and what works out best so everybody can be happy. The challenge concept also at summer camp. One of the campers said it's very challenging to live God's way of life. She went on to say that the rewards are worth it and encourage us to keep on going and never quit. There's some of you here that are here with a great challenge. I just found out that Mr. Gunderson over here just recently had a fall and injured his knees very severely after some surgery. I hope it's okay to say this, but I can tell him that he's in pain, but he's here. A lot of you are out there in pain. It's a challenge, but you know what? I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, would you? This time of year. We all have challenges every day of our lives, some more than others, some different than others. Our summer camps are in beautiful surroundings that add to the environment of the zone. Well, you know what? Same thing is true about the Feast of Tabernacles. I happen to believe this is a very beautiful area of the country. Most of our feasts are held in very beautiful areas. I can remember a few of them in years past that were in a big city. But the only thing I learned from that was, boy, you know, you can be in the room during services and you have this nice spiritual environment. The minute you step out the door, you're slapped in the face by the world again. That was kind of a good lesson, but it's nice to be in an area that when you leave here and go back to your room or go out and do activities, that you're still in a nice millennial type of environment. Because, again, that's immersion. That other place, I won't say what the city was in case somebody might be here from there, but it was like being dunked in the water and then thrown back out, dunked in the water, thrown back out. It wasn't 24/7. It was like when you're attending the meetings, you were immersed, and then you had to get out of the tub and go out in the cold. It wasn't a lot of fun. Well, another thing is that both summer camp and the feast prove that God's way works in everyday life. One statement was made is that God's way is the only way of real living. God's way is the only way of real living. You know, I can say that now. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. But I can tell you, you know what? The things that were fun in God's way of life decades ago, I can still say they were fun. Not to say, oh, I had a good time, but I really messed myself up really bad. No, I didn't. Because God's way of life is fun, and you can still look back years, decades later and say, yeah, that was fun. I'm still healthy and happy and can still say that. The world's way of fun is not necessarily that way. You can go out and have fun and pay the price for the rest of your life. I certainly encourage you young people, you know, hang in there with God's way of life. It's a package deal. There's some things that aren't fun. But there's a lot more things that are fun than aren't. If you compare this to any other way of life, there is no comparison. This is one of the main things that God wants us to learn. Mr. Capo, who is the camp director down in one of our camps down in California, said, we're on our way to succeed in the kingdom of God. Well, you know, that's our motto as well at the feast. We're on our way to succeed in the kingdom of God. Another camper said, I have more zeal. That is a result of attending camp. I have more zeal. I'm ready to go back home and be a light to the world. Well, you know, one goal of the feast is to fire up more zeal for us to go back home and be a light to the world. The camp video ended on certainly a millennial passage, one that probably you hear every year at the feast, in Isaiah 11 and verse 9. Isaiah 11, verse 9, which says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as waters cover the sea." And as Mr. Stiver commented, that's immersion education. You know, eventually what we're experiencing as a foretaste of now is going to encompass the entire world. Just like a universal flood, only the flood this time will not be water, it will be the knowledge of God's way of life. That's also what we're enjoying a foretaste of here at the Feast of Tabernacles. Mr. Stiver concluded by encouraging campers to, quote, "dive into camp and bring home the zone." I will conclude by encouraging you to dive into the feast and take home the zone. Welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles, God's immersion education program. Hope you all have a good night's sleep. Come back tomorrow for services at 1:30 and look forward to a wonderful Feast of Tabernacles here in the Ben Redmond area.